All right, very good. Well, let me try to explain what's about to happen. Amen. We're going to have some popcorn preaching. What that means, we're going to have five of us preach tonight. And Brother Nichols is going to lead us off. I want to say just a quick word about this. We're blessed here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to have young men being called into the gospel ministry. And these young men are prepared and prayed up, this isn't a skit, this is preaching, amen. And we want them to bring something that God has laid on their heart. Brother Nichols will take about 5 minutes, and then Brother Hoxie, and right after he's done, Brother Max will come up, and then Brother Anthony, and I'm going to get up here and try to clean up the mess, whatever they've done, and we'll have a wonderful time. Let the Lord speak to your heart through the preaching of the Bible tonight, and let's open up our hearts wide open. Get your Bibles ready. I'm going to say a word of prayer before Brother Nichols comes up, and then we're going to have them come one up right after another, and they're going to get right into their message after the next one with no delay. Let's ask God's blessing on the preaching. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to hear the Word of God, Lord. And Lord, these may be short messages, but Lord, I read some of the Bible messages. I've timed them. Some of the most powerful messages in the Bible weren't much longer than 5 or 6 minutes long, and yet, God, you used it in the hearts of people. We can read of miracles that happened after the preaching of the Bible. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll bless these men. May your Holy Spirit even come afresh on them now, dear Lord, as they prepare to take the Word of God and share what God has laid on their heart. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would do something supernatural and lasting in our life, whether it's to teach us something new, maybe sometimes just to remind us of something we already know, but we need to remember. And I pray, Lord, that you would use the preaching of your Word, Lord, and use each of these men, dear God, as they deliver. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Say amen with me. Ready? Amen. Come on, Brother Nichols.
Take your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter number 37. Jeremiah chapter number 37. I'm preach a message entitled, A Word from the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 37, verse number 16. I'm going to go quick. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, There is. There certainly is a word from the Lord. Jeremiah didn't realize it then, but he was speaking for all generations when he said, There is a word from the Lord. In the Old Testament, there is more than 3,800 places in which the word of the Lord came unto me. In fact, 773,692 words from the Lord recorded in 31,173 verses, 1,189 chapters, 66 books, divided into two major divisions known as the Old Testament and the New Testament. Listen, friends, I don't want a word from Joe Biden. I don't want a word from Kamala Harris. I don't want a word from Oprah Winfrey. I don't want a word from Dr. Phil trying to tell me how to raise my kids. I don't need them trying to tell me I need to get in touch with my feminine side, all right? There is no feminine side. I don't need to try to figure out what gender I am. I can also answer the question, what is a woman? I can answer that question. Every time I look at my wife, I say, whoa, man, that is a woman right there. That is a woman. You may say, well, what do you say to the people that might be offended by that? Be offended, all right? Be offended. You say, how do you know all these things? Because there is a word, and this word right here has the answers, amen? The Apostle Paul declared the great authority that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There is great power in the message of the Lord. Paul also said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. Ezekiel was commanded to preach the word of the Lord to a valley of dry bones. He had it tougher than any preacher that's ever lived. He was preaching to a bunch of dry bones. Many preachers will complain that their congregation is dead and may be difficult to preach to, but nobody could compete with what Ezekiel had to preach to. There was no unity. The bones were scattered. There was no usefulness, for the lifeless pile of dusty bones was not going to accomplish anything. There wasn't any unction either. The spirit had long since departed those bones. You can't help but notice the similarity between this pitiful picture and the lot of dead, dry, useless, lifeless, formal churches going through the motions of worship at church. Most Christians are coming to church worried about what they're going to do after church than worried about making decisions in church and what's going on. Many preachers treat preaching as if it's a chore and are just excited to get done so they can get on with the things that they enjoy in life. But that can all be fixed with a good, clear message and a word from the Lord. Ezekiel preaches. He was commanded, and the bones began to unify. He preached again, this time to the wind, just like God told him, and breathed into the bodies, and they came alive. What we need more than anything else is for preachers and teachers to let people know what God said. He said, there is a word from the Lord. Can I get an amen tonight? Let's sound like we're old-fashioned tonight, all right? Jeremiah had the word of the Lord burning in his heart. He was there. There was a word from the Lord, but on one occasion he got upset and he quit, vowing to never preach again, vowing to never mention the Lord's name. But God's message began to work and burn in his soul. The Bible says, his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Number one about the word of the Lord, number one, it will save the down and out. It will save the down and out. No drunkard or harlot has ever been too hard for God to save. Testimonies are given all around the world of people who were vile and wicked and ungodly lives that should have no business in heaven, but God saved them. God provided a way for them, and they got convicted that day when some preaching happened in their life. The Samaritan woman at the well was no Sunday school girl. She had some problems. She changed husbands 5 times, and by the time she got to the 6th one, she didn't even bother getting married to him. The message from Jesus about the water of life that would wash away all her sins brought a lightning bolt to her, and she quickly pleaded, "Give me this water! Give me this water! I want that!" What she was saying is, "I'm tired of all this sin. I'm tired of this life." If anybody was a down and outer, it was her. But a word from the Lord fixed her right up. Amen. Number two, it will save the up and out. It will save the up and out. Nicodemus, a rich, famous religious ruler, came to Jesus about being saved. He was an up and outer in the strictest sense. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." The message did its work, and Nicodemus was saved. Praise the Lord for salvation for the up and outers. Amen. Number three, it will stabilize the in and out. It will stabilize the in and out. Every pastor knows too well the problem of the loose, careless, lukewarm in and out type of church member. This type of church member is someone who's not really regular when it comes to church attendance or their prayer life or their Bible reading. This goes on, and they have spurts and seasons of their life. He or she needs something, and it's not easy sometimes whether to know if it's conversion or rededication that's needed. But the remedy for this problem is in the same plain preaching that Paul advised Timothy when he said, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, and out of season." Amen. Lastly tonight, it will stir the out and out. It will stir the out and out. Jeremiah was a good man. One day, while meditating on the word of the Lord, he cried out, "The word like a fire in my bones." The words of the Lord, they're spirit and life. They will stir and arouse out of lethargy and complacency and feed and bless the faithful. Contact with the message of the Lord will create a stronger burden in the heart of the saint. I'll challenge you tonight to get busy serving the Lord. The word of God will clean you up as a Christian. When you're doing wrong, it'll help you out and get you back on track. The Bible talks about how Paul told the Christians at Thessalonica to comfort one another with these words. Friends, we may not have much to offer. I know I don't, but if we give our all, if we give our best, God will be pleased and will accept it and will give us a great reward. There is a word from the Lord. Let us hear it, heed it, and hurry.
Amen, Brother AJ, that was good, and it's so important that we hear the word of the Lord daily, not just get in the word of God, that's the basics of it, but also hear the specific word of the Lord that Jesus has for each and every one of us on a daily basis. But because there is something that God wants to tell us each and every day, and it's not just a one-time thing or just a Sunday thing, a Wednesday night thing, it's each and every day God has a word for us, and we have to make sure we are listening for that voice, because there are all kinds of voices that are calling us each and every day. It's not just God's voice, unfortunately, that is calling us each and every day. It's the voice of the world. It's the voice of the devil telling us, You don't need to hear the word of God. You don't need to go to church, and you don't need to pray. You don't need to spend time with him. And sometimes these voices, they come from in many forms, from the spirit world, from entertainment, whatever it may be, music, and it just tells you, you don't, you know, this is what you need. Church isn't what you need. This is what's good enough for you. So we have to make sure we're listening to the right kind of voices. So we're going to look at Psalm chapter 12. If you want to turn there, you can, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. Psalm 12 gives us a clear comparison of these two voices, God's voice or the voice of the world. Yeah. It says in verse number 1, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Now listen to these references to language, to speaking, to tongue, right? To the voice, right? Verse number 2 of Psalm 12. They speak vanity. There's one. Everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips. There's number 2. With a double heart do they speak. That's number 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. That's number 4. And the tongue that speaketh proud things. That's number 5. Who have said, that's number 6, with our tongue will we prevail, that's number 7. Our lips, that's number 8, are our own. Who is Lord over us? Listen to us. This is our message. You don't need to be in church. You don't need to listen to God. And you've got to be careful because obviously the devil is tricky. He's as a roaring lion, and he disguises. He makes good look bad and bad look good, and tries to make his word as if it's the word of God. But what do we do? What is the key? What is the answer to this problem? And it gives it right to us in verse number 5. It says, "For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him." I have an answer, God says, and it is my word. It is my word. Verse number 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times." And I've heard the illustration several times of bankers and people who work with money, and the way that they understand the difference between the real money, real cash, and counterfeits. It's not by studying all the counterfeits and finding all the problems with counterfeits, because if they did that, they'd be studying hundreds and probably thousands of different ones in different ways. But the way they know the difference, the way they know a counterfeit bill, is by how well they've studied the real thing. And that's the difference. And just recently we had our King James Bible Conference, which was such a blessing. And to hear preaching and talk about the importance of why we use the King James Version. And you know, our brother had them read from the other versions, and right away when we hear it, we know that's not right. And it's because we have learned and been brought up and learned in old-fashioned, you know, preaching from the old-fashioned Bible on the King James Version. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Yes. But then the last verse, you would think it would end on that positive note, but the last verse of Psalm 12 kind of goes back to the negative. It's a reminder, "The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." And it stops right there. Gives us a solemn warning. Remember, don't forget, The voices of the enemy are all around you, and everything in this world, in every avenue, every place you go, every stopping mall, every store, whatever it may be, friends, different people you talk to, are all kinds of voices that are pulling at your soul, pulling at your spirit. And so remember, the words of the Lord are pure words. And how are we going to know the difference? By how well we know the real thing, by how often, how regularly we get a word from the Lord, the specific word that he has for us. And just briefly to close it out, in Proverbs chapter 2, it just gives us a simple pattern right in the beginning of Proverbs 2. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words," that's just taking it, picking it up, reading it, "and hide my commandments with thee." Now you're pondering it. Now you're learning from it. "So that thou incline your ear unto wisdom. Now you have a taste for it. And then the fourth step, apply thine heart. You put your heart into wisdom or into understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. And you, then verse number four, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, you make the voice of God more valuable to you than precious gold and silver and all the treasures of this world. Verse number five, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
Matthew chapter number 5 this evening. Matthew chapter number 5. Woo, that thing's hot. We're turning. We've heard about the word of the Lord. We've heard about what Christians are supposed to be. We're not supposed to be a counterfeit. And you know what? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 5 what we're supposed to be. And I want to talk about that this evening. Chapter number 5, verse number 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. This evening, why is the light not working? Why is the light not working? So this past week, I was at the floor store, and we had to change the lights in the warehouse. And I was 17 foot up in the air on a forklift, and I'm changing these lights. Some of them I had to convert from the old fluorescent lights that had these things called ballasts, and I had to convert them to LEDs because LEDs do not use this. And I started thinking about it, and it kind of reminds me of the sinner. The sinner has this old ballast. We've all been created the same. All those lights were created to run off a ballast. And these, but you know what? As a sinner, they come and praise the Lord, just like these past couple weeks we've seen sinners say they've been converted. They've been converted as Christians. Tonight, I'm going to use the illustration of us being as LED lights. You know what? The Bible says for our light to shine so that everybody can see, so that they'll glorify God, which is in heaven. But for you to convert from the ballast to the LEDs, you have to have some things connected. You have to have some things connected. We have this black wire. This black wire is the hot wire. This is the main wire. You do not want to grab this. It did not turn out well. And you know what? This evening, this black wire represents Jesus. Jesus is our main power as Christians. If we don't have this connected, we do nothing. We do nothing. We have to have this connected in the Christian life. Now, if let's say you say, oh, I have all the other wires connected except for this one, your light will not shine. That light will not turn on. You know what? We have to have it. Jesus told us that. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. God said that he's the power of the resurrection. We have to have this main power to be able to show our light. Number two, our white wire. This is a neutral wire. But this evening, I was looking at it, and it pictures the Holy Spirit. It pictures the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have Jesus, but we have to have the Holy Spirit on it. If we're going to have the light shine, we have to have that Holy Spirit in us. Once we got saved, God gives us a comforter, but if we don't listen to it, our light will not shine. You know what the Bible, Paul said, quench not the Holy Spirit. There's a reason why he said that. You know what? The Christians that haven't come and visited an altar in years, you know what? They can't even hear the Holy Spirit because it's been quenched. Their light's not shining. The light is not shining. You have to have the Holy Spirit. You know what? The Holy Spirit tells you to talk to this person. Okay, Holy Spirit, I hear you. I'm going to do it. You know what? You got to go visit these people. You know what? Hey, you need to send this text out to somebody. I have no idea. I've had that before. I text somebody, hey, I'm praying for you. I don't know what they're going through. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's there. Holy Spirit's not connected. It's not shining. We have the ground wire. I don't have it with me because then the lights would not be working at the floor store. But it's either going to be green or it's going to be copper. And I picture that as our doctrine, our foundation. If we do not have that, we do not have that ground wire, we have nothing to anchor our faith on. We have to have that doctrine. You know, in 2 Timothy he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to be able to study. You know what? If somebody walked up to you and said, why do you believe the music standards that you believe? Could you answer them? You know what? Could you answer why you believe that we sing old-time music?
Is there a reason why you read the King James Bible? Why don't you read another Bible? Do you have your doctrine, your foundation? Because if you don't, your light's not shining. You have to have all three of those wires connected together for that thing to shine. Christians, what are you going to do? Are you getting away from Jesus? Have you gotten away from the main power? Is that why your light's not shining? Maybe the Holy Spirit. You know what? You've quenched the Holy Spirit. You haven't visited the altar. You haven't heard His voice in years. You're not shining your light. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And do you have your doctrine? Somebody came up and asked you this week, why do you believe this way? Could you answer them, is your light shining?
Psalms 150, here's the word of the Lord, uncorrupted, that lets your light shine. Just praise God. Just praise God. How often do we come to your mom growing up? Mom, I need this. Mom, I want this. Mom, can I have this? Hey, how often do we use God in a way that we're like, God, can I have this? God, I need this. God, can I come to you and ask you of this? Not sometimes we don't even do it in a selfish way. We do it for others. But how often do we just take time just to praise God? Just to praise Him for who He is, for how wonderful He is, how good He has been, how glorifying He is. There is more time in eternity to praise God. Hey, the songs we sing today, I hope you get used to it. We're going to be singing praises to God for eternity. We're going to be singing praises to God. Even right now, the angels are crying, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, we have an opportunity to praise God every day. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. We don't have to wait till even the end of the service. We can start praising God even now. Psalms 150, verse number 1. I think this is the key to David's success in life, was he knew how to praise God. You want to see someone that knew how to praise God for everything in his life? Read the Psalms. Read the Psalms of how David praised God in everything he did. Verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the tremble and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instrument and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the sounding cymbals. And let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Everybody put your hand in the air. Now put it to your mouth and give a big... That means you should praise God. Hey, someday every creature, every man, every woman, every child is going to be in heaven standing before God, praising God. Whether they're going to go to hell or whether they're going to go to heaven. I want to be on the side that gets the opportunity to praise God forever with my voice to God. I want to be with the angels saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I was thinking about it today at work as God was dwelling it, and I just had a time where I had to praise God. I just thought about how good He's been in my life, how many blessings I have that I don't deserve, how many things that are brought to my life that God, I'm not worthy of it, but God, praise You. Praise You for how good You are, how good He is to us, and we are so unworthy. We can let that light shine. How do we let that light shine? Bringing ourselves back to the Word of God and saying, God, praise You for everything in my life. Praise You for everything. Don't just come to God with your requests. Don't just come to God with the needs and the wants and the desires, and those are good things. God has told us to come to those needs. Bring those requests to God. But when He taught the disciples to pray, He said, hallowed be Thy name. The first thing we ought to do is say, God, hallowed be Your name. Just take time. Go just challenge this week. Take time just to praise God. Just to thank Him. Not thank Him, not to bring a request, but to just say, God, You're good. And I just want to brag about how good You are to me. Just praise God.
Amen. Sitting there listening to him thinking it was a good day when God allowed our paths to cross, brother. You've been such a blessing to me. Praise God for Brother Max, and got to watch him grow up. I knew and met him, within days of him being born, and be able to watch him grow up here. And then Brother Mike, you know what? He's more of a Johnny come lately, but he's got the coolest Argyle socks of anybody in church. I never thought I'd let somebody preach with shorts on before, but I've already backslidden and gotten out of the will of God. But man, it was a good day when Lynette hooked you and reeled you in, brother. And I just want to praise the Lord for Brother AJ because I don't have to support Tabitha anymore. And so that's a blessing, man. And so praise the Lord for that. But I praise the Lord for everybody in here. You know, folks, if you want to, you can take what you just heard and you can just let it put your heart come on a fire again. I want to talk about that tonight. John the Baptist, I think one of the things that caused that fire to burn in our heart is to praise the Lord. But you know, in John chapter number 5, Jesus talks about John the Baptist, and he says some incredible things. And he says one thing in particular I want to draw our attention to here in closing. But in John chapter 5, verse 33, you sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. John 5, 33, you sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He says something next about John that I want you to ponder for the next few minutes. He said this about John. He was a burning and a shining light. I want to say that again. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. I mean, literally this morning in our opening assembly, we started with the ABC song. You know why? Because we always start with the ABC song. And then we had the children sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. They sing it every single week with the preacher. You know why? Because I don't want them to ever forget how much Jesus loves them. And then I say, if you brought your light, and everybody holds their finger up, and we do 3 verses of this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, oh no, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. And I think how important it is for us to shine. You know, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. And you know what? We've heard a lot about that tonight, the Word of God and the power of it. And why we don't shine sometimes. We've got some of our wires disconnected. Come on. But I got to thinking about John. And I got to thinking about how brightly he shone for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it was John that prepared the world for Jesus to come. I mean, John preached in such a way that he had a reputation all over Galilee, and every class of people came down to hear John the Baptist. And you know why they came? Because he shone brightly. You know, think about it. It was John that said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And John shone brightly. But wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Why did he shine so bright? Why did he shine so bright? Why is it that some Christians shine and some Christians don't shine? Preacher, I wish my light was brighter for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really don't know what the problem is. I think we can find the answer in John chapter 5, verse 35. You see, before he was a shining light, folks, he had to first become a burning light. A burning and a shining light. I want to ask you something. Come on, think about this. Old time religion. You know what? When's the last time you felt something burning inside of your heart? When's the last time you felt something burning inside of your soul? Because you know what? The light is a result of the fire. The light is the result of the fire. And I was thinking as I was listening to young men preach tonight, I thought, thank God they're on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. I see many bus captains and bus workers on fire. Thank you, by the way, for being on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know what? If you're not on fire, if you're not burning, you're not shining. If you're not burning, you're not shining. Preacher, I feel like maybe there used to be a fire in my soul, and there used to be something burning in my heart, a desire to serve the Lord. But folks, listen to me. It can happen to any of us and all of us. Let's not throw rocks at each other tonight. I've been there before, and you've been there before, where the devil's just taken, you know what, the waters and doused out the fire and discouraged us. And by the way, if you've let the devil put the fire out in your life and there's no longer something burning there, then I promise you there's nothing shining there either. And so what do we need in order to get that fire going again? You know, Brother Nichols referred to Jeremiah, and he came to a place of discouragement. But you know what he said? There was something inside of my soul. and there's something that was causing a fire to burn, and he said it was the Word of God. And folks, listen to me, there's no shortcut here. If you'll trace it back to where the fire began to go out, it probably was when the devil began to, come on, drive a wedge between you and this wonderful book right here. You know, if the fire's gone, then I can say this, I know where to get it relit. If the fire's gone, then you know what? Get back into your King James Holy Bible. You know, folks, listen to me. I think this 5 minutes a day stuff, sometimes it's good for maintaining the fire, but if the fire's gone out, sometimes we need more than that. Come on. What's wrong with spending 20 minutes reading the Bible? What's wrong with taking an hour sometimes and say, I'm just going to read until the say, preacher, how much should I read every Sunday morning or every morning in my life? How much of the Bible should I read for morning devotion? One old preacher answered a man this way. He said, you keep reading till the fire begins to burn. Until the fire begins to burn. Now listen to me. That's not gonna happen with a casual relationship, hit and miss relationship with the Word of God. Get inside of it. Bow your head before you read it and say, God, I want you to show me something. I want you to convict me of something. I want you to enlighten me over something. I want you to remind me of something. I want you to teach me something. I want to get a truth in my heart that's gonna catch fire and gonna burn throughout the rest of the day. And folks, listen to me. We need to get back to a meaningful relationship to the Word of God. You know where else you can get your fire lit on a regular basis? And listen, you can get your fire lit in the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, it's Jesus that founded the local New Testament church. What we're doing tonight is not man's idea. It is God's idea. Jesus spoke the church into existence while he was here on earth, and he's the one that laid down in the scriptures how the local assembly is to run and what we're supposed to do, and he's the one that decided it needed a pastor, and he's the one that said when it gets to a certain point you're going to need some deacons, and he said you're going to need some lay people, and you're going to need some soul winners, and so much of the Bible is written to the local New Testament church. Folks, you've heard the illustration, but years ago, my dad used to give this as one of the early illustrations when he first was a preacher, when he would preach on the importance of church attendance. And he said, you know what, there's a preacher that went to a man's house, and you know what, he hadn't been coming to church lately. It was in the winter time. He was sitting in front of his fireplace. He had a fire roaring. I mean, the fire was going and the coals were hot. And he began to sit there, invite the preacher in and sit there with him and try to tell the preacher why church wasn't really that necessary, how he could read the Bible at home and he could pray at home and he didn't need to come to the assembly. And the preacher got up and got an old-fashioned poker and pulled out one of those hot coals and pulled it over here on the hearth away from the rest of them. And you know what? As the man was sitting there trying to convince him how he didn't need church, he kept getting distracted because he kept looking at that one coal that had been separated. And it went from a white hot to orange and then to red and then to a dull red. And pretty soon it turned black. And folks, if it had left there long enough, you know what? You could have walked over and picked it up and tossed it in the air like this, and it wouldn't have had any heat in it at all. And folks, listen to me. Let's forget this idea. Let's not listen to the backsliders that want to act like Sunday school's not important, and Sunday morning's not important, and Sunday night's not important, and Wednesday night's not important. Listen, folks, we say, don't let Satan blow it out. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you know, it's hard to go out into this old world and not have your light affected. I'm glad for Wednesday night midweek Bible service. I'm glad for Bible study where we can go in and say, Lord, light me up again. Light me up again. And so if we get into the Bible and have a personal relationship with the Bible every day, it'll keep that fire going. Come to church, folks. Listen to the preaching of the Bible. It'll get that light burning. But you know what? Nothing can replace a time before a holy God at the throne of grace. Every single time we read about the throne of God, we read about fire. And there's something about coming boldly to the throne of grace. Now think about that, folks. You know what? God says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Now think about that. So I go into my office and I get on my knees in my office. And you know what? I think about this. I think, okay, how can I get boldly to the throne of grace? I mean, God's throne is in heaven. But I believe in that time of prayer. And please listen to me and hear me out. I think there's something supernatural that happens during a time of prayer. I think that the Holy Spirit, who is our prayer partner, can literally take us into the very presence of God. I may not physically be there, but I can spiritually be in the very presence of a holy, mighty God. And you know what? How long should you pray? Well, let's just use the same formula we use for Bible reading. How long should I stay there? Till something starts burning in your soul. Till you walk away with some kind of fire going again. Because John the Baptist had the effect that he had on this earth, not because he was just a shining light, because he was a burning and a shining light. There's so many things that we could say tonight, but let me just say this. None of these things are going to work. None of these things are happening until you are born again. That's the first step. You got to get the fire lit in the first place. And you know what? I want to say this. I'm so glad that at a young age, Jesus Christ sought me out. Think about this. For the Son of Man has come. He was willing to come. And, you know, he's come to seek. He was willing to seek. And he's willing to save. And you know what? I can testify that he did all three things in my life. He was willing to come. Come on. When we could not go to him, he was willing to come to us. And he came here, and he's willing to seek us. And I thought this week, as I went and visited Jerry Purcell, and I did it. You know that I do that every spring, and I went by and talked to Jerry, and I got to talk to Jerry Jr., and we had about an hour of good fellowship. And then I go over, and I kneel down beside him and say, "You pray for me," and he puts his hands on me and prays for this preacher. And then I go over to the Rock Run Baptist Church, and Brother Brian, you know where exactly where it's at, and I walk around that church and make a fool of myself and shout and pray. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because God sought me out. God sought me out. He kept coming after my mom and dad, kept coming after our family, kept coming after our family, kept coming after our family. And you know what? If you look back in your life before you got saved, God was willing to seek you and seek you and seek you and seek you. Even when you were lost, you can still look back and see the hand of God on you, protecting you, bringing you to the right place, getting you under the right preaching, getting you to the right friend, or getting you to a family member that prayed for you. Yeah. And I just want to say this. If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ as your Savior, say, "Preacher, you know what? It just seems like you got something different around here. It seems like there's something different with the people around here." Folks, listen, we're no better than anybody else, but you know what? There came a day when we got saved. And you know, after we got saved, we just decided, you know what, we're going to get into the Bible until that fire begins to burn in our lives. We're not going to make excuses about why we aren't in church, but we're going to get ourselves under the preaching of the Word of God. You know why? Because it keeps the fire going. And you know what? We're going to get before the throne of grace. Because you know what? When everything else, I mean, the winds, come on, the cold winds of hell blow out the flame, I can go into the presence of God. And he stirs that up again inside of me. Are you saved tonight? If you died right now, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Can you say, "Preacher, I know that 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 I'm born again"? I could go back in my mind and my memory to a time and a place where, you know what, I was under Holy Spirit conviction and I understood the gospel that Jesus died for my sins, was buried and rose again the third day. And under Holy Spirit conviction, I cried out and asked Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior, trusting in Jesus and Him alone for my salvation. By the way, if you can go back and find that place, then you know what? You can rejoice. Come on, you can praise the Lord tonight. I'm saved. I don't have to worry about it. I'm saved. I don't have to put my head down on my pillow and be afraid anymore. But if you can't get, and you're not at that place of peace, you know what? We'd like to see you be saved tonight. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that we've heard. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you how powerful it is. Thank you for the passion with which these men preached the Bible tonight. Thank you for the subject matter that was presented before us. I pray, dear Lord, now in this moment of invitation, Lord, that every heart would be examined, dear God. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. Lord, I pray, dear Holy Spirit, that you would go up and down every aisle. Seek out that one that's not saved. Seek him out. Seek her out. Bring Holy Spirit conviction to their heart. Don't, Lord, make it so that they, Lord, they can't leave here tonight till they get that settled, Lord. May you come powerfully into their lives and bring that conviction, dear God. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, as you're dealing our hearts, Lord, the hearts of those that are lost, Lord, we need also your dealing in our hearts. Lord, it's a terrible thing when the fire goes out. It's a terrible thing when there's no more burning, because if there's no more burning, then there's no more shining. And just pray, Lord, that you'd once again, Lord, I've been there before. I just needed to get before you with an open Bible and just stay there until something sparks again, until something just catches on fire again. Say, God, I'm not going to leave here. I'm not going to leave here the same. I'm not going to leave here till you do something in my life. I'm not going to leave here till you do something in my heart. Lord, the world is lost in darkness. But Lord, how can we shine if there's no fire within?